That's just how it is. Her teeth sink into my bristly cheek, her arms locked around my neck. Now that we've cleared that up, are you going to spoil me like you promised? Yes, I affirm, pulling back. Right after you've had a relaxing soak. I carry her to the bath and place her gently down, kissing her forehead, and then leave her to get herself ready. I can't bathe with her. We'll never make it to the party. Wear the lace dress and meet me in the hallway at 7:30. I shut the door behind me, satisfied, because I just know she won't disappoint me. Chapter 36. My frame of mind is positive. My heart is hopeful. My trim stubble just the right length, my face fresh. My charcoal three-piece suit fits like a dream, and my body in it looks fine. She won't be disappointed either. As I wait for her in the hallway, refixing my hair in the mirror, I hear the bedroom door close. I move to the bottom step, sliding my hands into my trouser pockets. I can't see her. Ava? I don't think you'll approve. I hear her, but I still don't see her, and now I'm worried. Has she defied my request for the lace dress? Let me see you, I order, containing the annoyance threatening to break in my tone. Tonight has to be perfect. Ava not wearing the dress I requested won't get it off to a good start. You sure? She calls. She sounds nervous. Get your ass in my sights now, lady. She appears cautiously, and I'm utterly blown away. Jesus. I exhale my wonder, my eyes following her around the gallery landing to the top of the steps. If there's an example of perfection, then I'm looking at it. The dress. Shit. The dress. Lace. Everywhere. And the subtle cream tone brings memories of her stunning wedding gown gushing back. The hem just below the knee is perfect, the material clinging lightly to every wonderful curve she has. I ignore the fact that those curves have reduced somewhat in recent weeks and move up to her face. Pink in her lips is the only subtle pop of color. It's all this dress needs. The Bardot neckline reveals the smooth lengths of her collarbones, her hair fixed in a sleek knot at the nape of her neck. Understated elegance. My wife has always had it, and it never fails to render me thunderstruck. Her smoky eyes are taking me in, up and down, her teeth latched onto her bottom lip. "Do you like what you see?" I ask, sure of the answer. Every inch of her is glowing with appreciation, in her eyes the most. You're the most handsome man I've ever laid eyes on. She swallows and looks up at me. Do I look okay? Okay, I counter, taking the stairs up to her, drinking her in. You are beauty personified, lady. And you're mine. I reach her and take her hand, kissing her wedding ring. I peek up at her. Who do you belong to? You. She doesn't stall, doesn't protest as she smiles down at me. Always. Come. I lead her down the stairs slowly, never taking my eyes from her profile as she watches her feet. I have something for you. I stop at the bottom of the stairs and reach into my pocket, circling her slowly. My hand on her hip makes her spine lengthen and she looks over her shoulder at me. What do you have? This. I take the diamond necklace over her head and let it settle on her skin. She looks down, her hand reaching up to feel the stones as I secure it. You only wear it on special occasions. Oh, my God, she whispers, moving away from me toward the mirror, staring at her reflection. She fingers the precious jewelry, lost in thought. Does she recognize it? It's beautiful. She looks past a reflection to me. Thank you. I smile, unable to be disappointed by her lack of memory. It's been yours for 12 years, baby. I move in behind her and circle her waist with my arms, bending to get my chin on her shoulder. Our eyes lock in the mirror. It's beautiful, yes, but it isn't a patch on the woman wearing it. The woman wearing it shines brighter, is more precious, more valuable to me than anything in this world. She turns her head to find my lips and blesses me with a delicate, consuming kiss. Love. It's radiating between us, filling me with happiness. We can do this. Get through this. Because we're us. Jesse and Ava. Let's dance. I turn her in my arms and reach for my phone, pulling up the Sonos app. She laughs, lightly bemused, pleased, not to Justin Timberlake. My finger pauses in the screen of my phone, and I look down at Ava. It's just another one of those moments when she says something without a clue of why she's saying it. I won't let it tarnish what I plan on being a perfect evening. Something a little more romantic. I find the track in my mind and turn up the volume. Like this. Nights in white satin fills the air around us, and she listens with me for a few moments. You recognize it? I sound hopeful, though trying my hardest not to be. Of course. She steps into my chest and rests her cheek there, curling one arm around my waist and taking my hand. We danced to it one time. Placing our clasped hands on my chest beside her head, I start to slowly move us in lazy circles, laying my head upon hers. You don't remember, do you? I ask, knowing she's grasped my plan. A mild shake of her head is expected, but the tears soaking through the material of my shirt are not. Don't cry. I gently scold her, clenching my eyes closed before I defy my own order. We make new memories if we can't find the old ones. I want both. She follows my lead as we unhurriedly pivot on the spot, going so slow, we're hardly moving at all. But we're touching. Everywhere we're touching. And the most significant place we're touching right now is our hearts. Her heartbeats are sinking into my chest, serving as a power surge, increasing my own heart rate. But I have you and the children, she whispers, her voice barely heard over the music as it reaches the crescendo. And that's all that matters. I breathe in long and deep and sink my face into her hair. She's right, though it doesn't make the loss any easier to accept. Always, I affirm, my voice evidently broken. The track slowly fades out and we continue to slowly turn on the spot. Our hands held tightly against my chest, her body held tightly to mine. Time to go, baby. I murmur reluctantly, feeling her hold of me constrict everywhere. Arranging her into my side, I walk us to the car. Am I allowed a drink tonight? Her question is laced with a little mischief and definitely some hope. I realize that she maybe feels the need for a little Dutch courage. I can't deny her that, but I'll be keeping a very close eye on her. One or two, I agree, opening the car door for her. She lowers into the seat and I move in, fastening her belt. As I back up, I stop, my body bent, my face nose to nose with hers. She smiles. I smile. I hope you have a lovely evening. Mrs. Ward. My date is a god. Of course I will. I land her with a soft kiss. I fucking love you. Chapter 37. The foyer of Café Royal sparkles, the grandeur impressive. We enter the small, ornate elevator, both of us quiet as it slowly carries us up. Ava peeks at me a few times, never releasing my hand. When the doors open, the rush of sound hits us. Music, chatting, laughter. I step forward but feel Ava's resistance behind me. Everyone is looking forward to seeing you, I say, trying to build her confidence. And I'll never leave your side. What if I need the ladies? Then I'll come, I say, matter-of-factly, because it is definitely a fact. She smiles, knowing I really will, and leaves the elevator. If it's too loud, you must tell me. I don't want her getting a headache. What will you do? Demand everyone be quiet and order Drew to turn off the music? I smile down at her, not needing to answer. She knows I'd do that as well. Silly question, she says in a shake of her head. Of course you would. We cross the threshold of the room, and I feel Ava's hand squeeze mine, her other hand coming up and clinging onto my bicep. Relax, I tell her gently, taking a glass of fizz from an offered tray and peeling her hand off my arm. I give her the champagne. Small sips. Right. She sinks the entire glass, stealthily moving back when I reach to seize it. Too slow, Ward, she murmurs, placing the empty on the tray. The woman is impossible. You'll pay for that. Can't wait. Her hand raises in a wave and we're soon joined by Rhea. Congratulations, Rhea, you look gorgeous, Ava tells her, taking both her hands and holding them out to admire Rhea's dress and all its glory. This old thing. She rolls her eyes and moves in to kiss Ava on the cheek. Thank you for coming. It means a lot to me and Drew. Wouldn't miss it for the world. Ava peeks up at me and jerks her head a little, her way of telling me to give some attention to the lady of the moment. Really stunning, I all but grunt, peeling my eyes away from my devious wife just as Drew joins us. His suit is pristine, as expected. He gives his fiancée a loving kiss on her cheek before moving in on Ava. I will him not to make a big deal of her presence. Everyone commenting on her actually being here won't help. Ava, you look sublime. Drew drops a gentle kiss on her cheek before rejoining Rhea. Thank you for coming. Now, if you wouldn't mind me stealing my beautiful bride-to-be. Of course, you go. Ava shoos them away and takes advantage of the passing waiter as I shake Drew's hand. Easy, I warn, as she takes the glass to her lips. It rests on her bottom lip for a few moments as she regards my increasingly bristly form. Then she makes a show of taking the smallest, slowest sip she possibly could. Don't push me, lady. I collect a hand and push through the crowd, making sure I clear the way first as I pull Ava along with me. There's John, Ava says, pointing toward the bar. And Elsie. He's brought a date. I change course quickly, heading their way. The big guy is smiling, probably wider than I've ever seen before, and he's made a real effort. His black suit is new for sure, his white shirt stark, and his bald head is super shiny, undoubtedly freshly polished. As soon as he spots me, his bright smile turns into a filthy glare, one that could shrink every muscle I have, and I have a lot. But of course, I completely ignore his suddenly threatening stance, my body becoming taller. Don't tease him, Ava warns. I scoff. I've waited forever for this. John! I slap a firm hand on his solid shoulder. He doesn't move an inch. You look like you're here to impress. His eyes darken, only making my grin widen. I turn it onto Elsie and blind her with it. And you look ravishing. I hope John has told you so. I can't imagine him paying a compliment. Oh, he has. Elsie's hand reaches for John's. Quite a few times, in fact. John's still glaring at me, and I'm still totally ignoring it. How romantic of you. His eyes are telling me to fuck right off before he smashes me in my smug face, but he would never tell me so in front of his new lady friend. So, you two official? Jesse, Ava sighs, sounding tired by my game. Tired? I've only just begun. Let's go find Kate and Sam. Good idea, John growls, as Ava pulls me away. I just can't wipe the grin off my face. Have a nice evening. John sounds less than sincere.
You too,
Ava calls, her yanks of my arm getting firmer. Jesse, for the love of God, will you behave? This is monumental stuff, baby. I relent and turn, letting her pull me through the crowds. I've only known him to be goo-goo over his bonsai trees. He has bonsai trees. Her wonder is warranted as she glances back to the colossal, mean-looking man who I adore with all my heart. If he pays as much attention to Elsie as he does to those trees, she'll be feeling pretty special. I spot Sam with Kate, who's shoving a canopy in her mouth. Hungry, Kate? I ask, alarmed as she follows it up quickly with another.
Oh, my God, she mumbles around her full mouth, closing her eyes like she's tasting heaven. I just can't stop eating.
She collects another and holds it while moving in to give Ava a hug.
Food. Just give me food and I'll be happy.
Ava laughs over her shoulder as Sam shakes his head in amusement. Shall we get some seats? I ask, mindful of Kate's huge belly and of my wife's dodgy leg. No. Sam shakes his head, pointing his beer to a passing waiter. She's figured out the route to the kitchen. This is the prime spot to bag the good stuff before everyone else gets to it. We'll be here all night.
You need to sit down, Kate,
Ava moans at her, reaching for her tummy and giving it a little rub.
How are you feeling?
Hungry, she replies, seizing another canapé and stuffing the whole thing into her mouth. Sam looks entirely exasperated as he takes one for himself. And I'm coming out in sympathy. This baby needs to come soon before its mum and dad run out of food and eat each other. Ava laughs, looking relaxed as she observes our friends munching their way through canopy after canopy. I'm not standing here all night. Besides, Ava needs to sit down. I spot a waitress entering the room, heading this way, and as soon as she makes it to us, I take the tray from her hands. It's an emergency, I say to her startled face. Oh, God! Kate's on me like she needs me to breathe, ramming food into her mouth. Come on. I usher them all onto the balcony, following with the tray. The traffic in Regent Street is clear. The lights glowing, the bustle of London a perfect backdrop. Stone columns close us in. Prisms of fire warming the nighttime air. It's beautifully idyllic. This little private haven above the busy streets of London. As soon as Kate's sitting down, I put the tray in front of her, smiling at Sam when he rolls his eyes. Sips, I whisper in Ava's ear, as she lowers to a chair, taking a water for myself. You hungry? Even if I was, I don't think I'd dare take one from her, she quips, making Kate's chewing slow to a stop. Oh, ow, shht. Her hands wave at the tray as she splutters a load of nonsense at us, and then Ava reaches forward, taking one of the little flatbreads as Kate groans happily on.
I don't know what it is about them, but I can't get enough.
I'm thrilled to see Ava pop one in her mouth without any pressing from me, but it isn't in her mouth for long. She coughs, grabbing a napkin and holding it to her mouth.
Fucking hell!
She splutters, emptying the contents of her mouth into the material.
Ava!
My bark of her name makes her jump a little, though I get no apology for her foul mouth.
I know, right?
Kate grabs another and rams it in.
Serious, you don't sing ings.
I need water. Ava starts, fanning her mouth, frantically searching the vicinity. Quickly, oh my God, my mouth's burning. I hand over my glass as Sam falls apart across the table, and she grabs it, slurping it down ravenously. Spicy, I take a wild guess, smiling as she nods over the glass.
Delicious,
Kate corrects.
You hate hot food.
Ava's face is red, a mild sweat dampening her skin. She looks at the platter with disgust. Oh, Kate's developed a bit of a craving. Sam takes one of the canapés and holds it out to Kate, whose mouth falls open like she's begging for a treat. She's draining the local Indian restaurant dry.
He slips it past her lips and wipes a little bit of sauce from the corner of her mouth on a fond smile.
I won't miss the midnight demands for a curry, but I will miss these. He cups one of her swelling boobs on a grin. Ava doesn't know where to look, diving into her fizz, whereas I love. She got used to Sam's cheeky nature over the years. Now she has to start all over again.
Drinks, anyone? Sam asks, releasing Kate's boob and rising.
I'll have a grapefruit juice,
Kate waffles around her ever-full mouth.
With a dash of tomato juice and some Worcester sauce.
Jesus, Kate, Ava breathes, grimacing. Pregnancy is doing weird stuff to your appetite.
Tell me about it, Sam says. Jesse? Just the water for me.
You go, Ava suggests, nodding when I look at her in question. What happened to never leaving her side?
It's fine. Kate's here.
I sense she wants some alone time with her friend, and I'm honestly not sure how I feel about that. What will be said? I don't know. And that's a killer. But crowding her when she's asked for a little space will do me no favors.
5 minutes, I agree reluctantly, leaning in and pushing my mouth to her cheek.
You're going to talk about me, aren't you?
Don't have such a big head,
she smiles, and it's fond. It doesn't make me feel any better. I study her for a few moments, trying to read her mind.
Go, she orders, pulling on my sleeve. And bring some canopies back that aren't going to blow my head off.
It's like she knows the promise that she'll eat will entice me to leave. And I hate that she's right.
Fine.
And some more of these, Kate adds, tossing another into her mouth. I'm running low.
I'm out of my chair fast, laughing as I walk away with the chuckling Sam.
Hey, look at that.
I nudge his shoulder and he looks across the bar with me where John's romancing his lady friend.
He's gonna plant that big knuckle fist on your nose if you don't pack it in, Sam laughs, waving the barman over.
It would be worth it. I order some water and some grapefruit juice with... I fade off, trying to remember the foul concoction Kate requested. I look at Sam, who takes over, reeling off his order.
Hey, boys!
Drew joins us, a hand on each shoulder as he peeks his head through the middle of us.
What the fuck is that?
He eyes up the glass of God knows what. Don't ask. I turn away from the bar, leaning against the wood.
So, not long until you're nailed down too.
Excited?
Yes, actually. I know that surprises you.
It doesn't. From the moment he met the lovely Rhea, he was smitten. It might have been a surprise at the time, but you only have to see them together to get it. Who would have thought back in the day that this is where we'd be? Sam preparing for the imminent arrival of his firstborn, Drew ready to walk down the aisle, and me with twins and a wife who doesn't know me. I flinch, knocking myself out of my own depressing thoughts, and it doesn't escape the boy's notice. I swallow and shake off the melancholy.
Hey, how's things? Sam asks.
And I look past them both to see Ava has moved to the other side of the table to be next to Kate. She must sense my watchful eyes, because she looks up as she collects her glass, and then proceeds to take a cheeky, very measured sip. But the volume of alcohol she's drinking isn't foremost in my mind. What she's saying to Kate is...
Chapter 38. Ava. How are you feeling? I ask, resting the stem of my glass on Kate's pregnant belly. I'm pregnant, fat, and I'm eating like a fucking horse. She blows her cheeks out and motions popping them. Tell me how you are. How's yoga going? Great, I smile, reminded of the image I had. It beats therapy by a mile. At my last session, I was so spaced out, and I saw Jesse and the twins when they were babies. That's great! I nod, sipping my drink. And how are things with you and Jesse? I inhale and take a quick peek into the bar area where my husband is standing with his friends. But his attention is far from on them. Good. And? She prompts. I shrug. He's being very attentive. In between his rants about dresses, drinking, and anything else that displeases him, which is a lot. Kate laughs, holding her belly, and then flinches. Ouch! I immediately bolt forward, my hands over hers on her tummy. What is it? Are you okay? She shuffles in her seat, grimacing. Ah, it's nothing. Just the baby lying awkwardly. Brushing away my hands, she settles and gives me her undivided attention again. It's... I hold my hand up, stopping her. I know what you're going to say. I figured out very quickly that he's a bit of a control freak. A bit? A lot. I relent, taking my glass to my lips, thoughtful. It's just weird, isn't it? What is? I wave my glass through the air, indicating everything around me. Up here. I tap the side of my head. I'm still early 20s, rocking youth and pursuing my career. I look down my lace-clad body. But here I'm 38, married to what can only be described as an ogre, and I have 11-year-old twins. 11! I flop back in my seat, once again utterly shell-shocked by what is my life. After way too long of a silence, I sip my drink as I look at Kate. She's smiling. You know, I saw all these emotions in you one time before. She waits a moment for me to ask when, but I don't. I don't need to. Ava. With one hand on mine, the other on her gigantic belly, she shuffles in closer. I look Kate straight in her vivid blue eyes, wondering where she's hiding the past 16 years, because frankly she looks no different, the pregnant belly aside. For the record, you look fucking fabulous, she says. Reaching up, she pushes a stray strand behind my ear, her smile knowing. She's read my mind, but I still pout, a little put out that I'm much older than I want to be. How'd you feel about him? Jesse? No, the Lord Almighty. The roll of her eyes is dramatic. He is the Lord Almighty, I laugh softly, casting my gaze to him at the bar. He's still watching me, though something tells me the glass of bubbles in my hand isn't the reason why. I can see curiosity scattered across his face, the signature creases that I've become familiar with spanning his forehead. I breathe in, unable to help admiring the fine form of a man who is my husband. He has a sexy, magnetic appeal that demands attention, and for the most part he knows it. He's a god, no denying it, and I'm married to him. Though past all his cocky arrogance, there's a vulnerability, a weakness. I am the cause of that weakness, his love for me. I study him as he studies me, his big body relaxed against the bar. My eyes go off on a tangent, roaming the vast length of him all the way down to his grinsons and back up again until I get to his face. That face. I sigh, relaxing, a smile breaking free when his green eyes shine, glimmer and sparkle madly, his devilish smirk faint but apparent. He's aware of the inspection he's under, and as always, he's taking too much pleasure from my inability to keep my damn eyes under control. I shake my head faintly on a little laugh, and he winks, kissing the air. Arrogant pig, I mouth. I love you too, he mouths back, making me laugh out loud and quickly return my focus to Kate before I inflate his huge ego even more. A man's a case. When I find my friend, I also find a cheesy grin around another one of those bloody canapes. Tell me you don't adore that man, she demands. Tell me it isn't ingrained into you like every one of your internal organs. Tell me you don't need him to survive. I can't, I admit, though the idea is crazy if true. I look at him and feel electric inside. He touches me and my veins charge with heat. In his arms I feel at home, like nothing can hurt me. And I know for sure that it can't. I didn't know what I felt at first, I admit. Attraction for sure, but trying to get my head around this man being my husband was frightening. I smile when Kate takes my hand and holds it in sign of support. I saw something in him, something that I should have been wary of, yet I was more intrigued by him. He's told me things that are unbelievable, yet I believe them. Kate doesn't ask what things, as I suspect she knows. I just feel myself leaning on him in all ways, and I know it's the right thing to do. I can't explain it. I feel protective of him, even though I know he can more than look after himself. But more protective of his ways, like a need to defend how he is, because I know why he's like that. The manor, his uncle, his brother. The scars on his stomach, just the thought of him being hurt, no matter in what way. At the mention of the scars, Kate inhales, flinching. I know, I agree. I was so mad when he told me how he'd sustained the injuries. I know he claims to have been nothing before he met me, empty and lost, but still, he shouldn't have been so careless with his life. Careless? Not wearing his leathers when he rode his bike, I prompt, and she nods slowly, looking across to Jesse with a disappointment I feel myself. He's a silly man, she muses, starting to get up from her seat, the effort too much even with my helping hand. I need to pee for the 1,000th time in an hour. Want me to come? Trust me, you don't want to hear me pee. I sound like a cart horse. So you're eating like a horse, peeing like a horse. Are you going to start galloping? I smile when she chuckles. Sam's going to have to roll me out of this joint. She stretches, standing tall, her palms in her back pushing her hips forward. Oh, God, she groans, the sound pure pleasure. I'll be back in a minute. You want a drink? Yes, but don't let Jesse see it. I'll smuggle it through in my gigantic knickers. She wanders off, and I fall into thought again, at the same time admiring Jesse. Falling in love with him so quickly seems like an outlandish possibility. But it happened once before. And it's happening once again.
Chapter 39 I watch as Kate half wobbles, half marches toward me, though it's plain to see she's trying to execute the latter with grit. Doesn't matter if she's failing. The look in her face is like thunder, and I'm puzzled as to why. Oh, shit, who's upset the she-devil? Sam mutters under his breath, spotting his girlfriend steaming toward us. Hey, gorgeous.
What the fuck, Jesse?
She launches right in. Your scars, you told her you had a motorcycle accident. Oh, I say, her grievance suddenly crystal clear.
Oh? That's it, oh? You can't keep that kind of shit from her.
What? I can't keep that kind of shit from her? Fucking watch me. Only because Kate's expecting do I hold back from getting up in her face. I don't fancy a scrap with my mate, not that Kate would need him, she's a firecracker all on her own, more so since my mate put a bun in her oven. I know what I'm doing, I breathe through my statement, calm as I can manage when on the inside I'm livid. I know what's best for my wife. Me. She's the one recoiling now, and Sam's quick to move in, a pacifying arm placed on her back. And Kate's quick to shrug him off. You're lying. That's what you're doing. I'm protecting her.
I can feel my teeth grinding, my jaw aching in an instant.
By lying?
She laughs, and it's sarcastic as fuck. Haven't you learned? Look what happened the last time you kept her in the dark. Her face is getting redder by the second, her rage probably matching mine, though I'm containing it far better than Kate.
Kate, calm the fuck down.
Sam tries to encourage her away. She's having none of it.
You can't lie to her. It isn't right.
I swallow and reach for Kate's hand, taking it in a firm grip and looking her square in the eye. I hope she sees how sincere I am, how determined. Kate, lies are necessary when you know the person you're lying to can't handle the truth. I breathe in more oxygen, and Kate snaps her mouth shut, so I push on while she's been silenced. Ava can't handle the truth, Kate. Not now, maybe never. I don't know, but in this moment, I'm not telling her all that shit. It pales into insignificance anyway. What matters to me, to Ava, is us. Our family. The kids. I want all of her energy on me and the twins. Not a nobody who's not in our lives anymore. She's staring at me, absorbing my speech. I think you're mad. I feel it, I say. But she's falling in love with me again. And now more than ever. I don't want anything to jeopardize that. I flick my eyes to Sam. He still has hold of Kate, but his eyes are on me. Sympathy is emblazoned across his face, and his small nod tells me he understands the angle I'm taking here. I'm grateful.
Oh, shit,
Kate blurts, her welling eyes overflowing when she blinks.
Hey,
I move in to comfort her, to make sure we're all right. Don't get upset.
I'm not upset.
She looks down, as do I, finding a puddle around our feet.
My water broke.
Oh, fuck. I step back, cringing, feeling all kinds of guilty for more or less inducing her labor.
What?
Sam shoots a fire stare at his girlfriend.
That's what happens when you get stressed out.
He takes her cheeks and moves in, smacking a big kiss on her lips.
If you weren't in labor, I'd spank you, stupid.
Save it for later, Samuel. Kate gazes at him as Sam gazes back. We're going to have a baby. And like the news might have just sunk in, he flips to panic mode.
Fuck! I'm going to have a baby!
He looks at me and then to Drew. We're having a baby! He shouts, silencing the room.
Call an ambulance!
Someone calm him the fuck down. Kate mumbles, and then that mumble turns into a moan, her body bending at the waist.
Oh, shit! There it is!
What's going on? Ava rushes over, looking to everyone and then down at her feet.
Oh! Oh, your pretty shoes, Kate whines, clinging to Sam's arm. They're ruined!
Give it a rest, woman! Sam chides as Kate flings her other arm out and grabs me. I hold on to her as she pants, her red face now red for other reasons. Flashbacks, tons of them, steam forward and swamp my brain. Visions of Ava in the latter weeks of her pregnancy, fooling me into believing she was in labor to wind me up, and then the moment she wasn't playing anymore. The moment that actually happened. I look across to my wife as I help Sam hold up Kate, a crowd of people growing. I watch as my wife throws out instructions before taking Kate's arm from me. I'm in a world of my own, rendered immobile by my memories, a useless heap of man amid the pandemonium.
Jesse!
Ava's sharp shout of my name snaps me back into the room. She's looking at me in question.
You're the only one who hasn't been drinking.
She must catch my confusion because she pushes on urgently.
You need to drive us to the hospital.
Right.
An ambulance!
Sam yells, frantically looking around the room, like he might find one in Cafe Royale.
Will someone shut him the hell up?
Kate spits, forgoing the help of her boyfriend and putting all of her trust into Ava, clinging onto her friend.
Oh, God!
Over she goes again, bending at the waist. Shit! 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 Ava starts walking Kate toward the exit, me and Sam following like the useless men we are. Sam, I need you to time the contractions, Ava orders over her shoulder, helping Kate along. Jesse, bring the car around. Kate takes slow, tentative steps, Ava matching her pace. How bad does it hurt? Kate asks, looking to Ava for reassurance. Like a bitch, Ava answers automatically. I find myself inhaling, a little stunned. And when that baby's ready to come out, you're going to feel like you're trying to push a flaming watermelon out of your fanny. Kate laughs and then stops, shouting at the doors of the elevator. Motherfucker! About sums it up, Ava quips, accepting a wet cloth from Rayan, dabbing at Kate's forehead. You're stealing my thunder, Raya jokes, nothing but fondness in her tone as she takes Kate's other side, the trio of women in a line before us, taking the ropes, putting us to shame. All that's left for me to do is put an arm around Sam and walk him on behind while I watch Ava talk Kate through it, like she's done it before. Because she has. Five of us in the waiting room. Me, Ava, Drew, Raya, and Georgia. We insisted they stay at Cafe Royale and enjoy the party. They insisted on coming. It's past midnight, and Georgia's asleep in Drew's lap, Raya's head resting on his shoulder. The consistent moans and screams of women are leaking out of the doors of the maternity unit. It's only been a few hours since we arrived, and I know more than anyone that it could be a long night. But not one of us is prepared to leave. This is a monumental moment in our friends' lives. We all want to be here for it. I peek down at Ava. She's sitting next to me, her gaze fixed and our held hands in her lap. Are you okay? I ask, wondering if she's thinking about when she had our babies. Looking up at me, she sighs, her head falling onto my shoulder. I reach around with my spare hand and cup her cheek. Does it really feel like you're pushing a flaming watermelon out of your fanny? Her jerking body against mine makes me smile, her laugh soft. Yes. Ouch, I quip, shuddering for effect. Her hand reaches for mine and her face and holds it there. I don't know where it all came from, she says, almost sad. It's the story of my life at the moment. I breathe out, my ass slipping further from the seat. I'm not sure whether I like these little flashes of recollections anymore. They don't excite me, more make me sad. Sad that the instinct is there, but the memory and the essence of that memory isn't. I close my eyes, feeling so tired. I have roughly 2 seconds of shut-eye before I hear some doors open. Shooting my stare toward them, I find Sam standing outside the maternity unit looking like shit, his face washed out, his eyes bloodshot. For a moment, I'm terrified that something has gone wrong. Then a lazy grin creeps across his exhausted face, and my heart works its way back to a safe pace. It's a girl. He croaks, his voice like gravel. We've gone and got ourselves a little girl. I'm up in a heartbeat, seeing him collapse with a mixture of happiness and exhaustion if I don't reach him quickly. He practically falls into my arms. Fuck me. I never want to do that again. I smile, knowing exactly how he feels. Congratulations, mate. I give him the biggest bear hug, taking most of his weight. A girl. I laugh under my breath. That's it. Sam has joined Drew and me in girly hell. I fucking love it. I release him only when Ava makes it to us to take over the hug, though I'm on standby to catch him if his legs give. Well done. How's Kate? Knackered. We all come together. Hugs and kisses given all around. And it's beautiful. A beautiful moment in our lives. My only wish is that the twins were here, and as I look at Georgia rubbing at her sleepy eyes, that wish turns into an ache. Only one more day, I tell myself. Then I see my babies. Once we've said our goodbyes, I walk an exhausted Ava to the car, practically holding her up. I buckle her in, kiss her neck, and linger there for a time, just feeling her on my skin. She's dozy. I love you. Her whispered confession is drowsy, but her deeper nuzzle into me tells me she's aware of what she's saying. My heart could burst. I know. I whisper back, kissing her hair, holding my lips there forever. In this moment, such a perfect moment, I decide what I must do in the morning. Chapter 40. Ed Sheeran's Give Me Love plays quietly, a soft background noise in our bedroom, the tones calm and relaxing. Ava's lids peel open gradually, blinking as they do, her pupils shrinking before my eyes as she becomes accustomed to the morning light. I know the second she finds me straddling her waist because she smiles, and that smile falls the moment she tries to reach me. Because she can't move her hands. Her eyes dart up to the headboard, where her wrists are securely shackled. A few jerks of her arms later, she returns her eyes to me. I raise my eyebrows. Her mouth drops open. "Morning, baby," I chirp, resting my palms on the inside of her upper arms, pushing them into the bed. "Oh, no, you did not," she sputters, having a little futile wriggle beneath me. "Oh, yes, I did." I lower my face, slowly getting closer and closer to her lips. She stills. "Remember what your last words to me were last night?" Her eyes slightly widen, and I just know she's going to deny it. She shakes her head mildly, a smile tickling her lips. Oh, she knows damn well. "Have it your way," I sigh, loudly, dropping my head until my chin meets my chest. "I'll start at 3, I warn her, my voice loaded with a craving consuming me. "And when I get to 0, baby..." "What? Are you going to force me to marry you again?" The cocky edge to her tone is thrilling. 3. I begin, not blessing her with an answer as I rise to sit up straight on her waist. "Jesse?" she says slowly, cockiness fading and concern creeping forward. 2. I hold my fingers up and lazily lower them to her stomach. She stills, hard as steel. "No." I walk my fingers south, purposely slowly, prolonging her anticipation. "Do you remember what you said?" Her lips press firmly together, my stubborn little temptress. "No?" My fingertips reach her tickle spot and stops. "Fine by me." 1. "Jesse." She exhales my name and then quickly sucks in air and holds her breath ready for it. 0, baby. I whisper, removing my hands from her hips and falling forward onto her, catching her mouth and startling her with a smoldering, hot, consuming kiss. Though I catch the surprise in her eyes, she falls straight into it, matching the deepness, plunging her tongue far and wide. There's not a piece of my mouth she's not finding. "Marry me," I say softly into her mouth. I feel her smile around my lips. "You've married me twice already." I pull back, a little scowl escaping. Is that a no? I didn't say no. She looks up at the cuffs, pulling a bit. "Will you release me?" I have no idea why I bow to her order so easily, especially since she hasn't technically said yes, but I find myself doing exactly that. Reaching up and freeing her, leaving the cuffs dangling from the bed. She sits up and pushes me to my back, now straddling me. And then she takes my arms and turn and cuffs me to the bed. And I let her. It's official. I'm crazy. "What are you doing?" I ask, as I watch her spread her body the length of mine, looking up at me as she starts to lazily pepper light kisses across my torso. My head drops back, a rough moan spilling free, my eyes closing in bliss. This could be a trick. She could be leading me into a false sense of security, but right now, with her mouth gliding across my flesh, the warmth of her licks and bites leaving fire in her wake, I couldn't give a fucking shit. I don't fight the restraints. I don't lose my mind that I can't touch her. I don't worry about the potential of her trying to extract information from me. I'm lost. A slave to her worshipping mouth, every nerve ending alive, every vein pumping with hot blood. This is the truth, fuck. Yes? She asks, her voice husky and low as she kisses her way up my body onto my skin and then my mouth. A wave of panic comes over me. There's no expression on her face, just pure, potent lust. Yes. Oh. I choke in my own groan, her hips grinding into my groin. Shit. Ava. Rising a little, she frees my cock from where it's pinned to my lower stomach, and it pings up, the tip brushing over her entrance. I jerk. She jerks. And then she lowers herself onto me, taking all of me on one slow plunge. I clench my teeth, breathing through my nose. As she starts to work her way up into a mind-blowing rhythm, I stare up into her eyes, brown eyes that are spilling desire all over me. She's killing me over and over with each and every swivel of her hips, her palms resting on my chest. I find the will to break eye contact, my gaze falling to her breast as they bounce slightly and then to her stomach, where evidence of her pregnancy with the twins look back at me. Beautiful. Every inch of her is beautiful. Falling forward, she encases my head with her arms, her face a fraction from mine. Her pace never falters. My pleasure never dips. Remaining consistent, taking more of my breath with each grind. You want some truths, Jessie Ward, she murmurs, weaving her fingers through my hair. I just nod, ignoring the ache developing in my arms and focusing on easing the ache in my cock that's being stroked by her warm walls. I do love you. She kisses me and alters the swing of her hips, turning it into more of a soft rock. That move, those words, it's my undoing, and it's Ava's too. Together, she orders softly around our busy mouths, and with that word, I tip the edge and tumble with her, maintaining our kiss the whole time we're riding the waves of pleasure together until our kiss slows to a stop, as well as our moving bodies. Though her constricting walls and my pulsing cock go on for far longer. I feel the release of her muscles when she sighs, her body melting over mine. Marry me, she breathes, turning her lips onto my cheek. If there was ever a moment in my life that I could bottle and store away forever, this would be it, because she's just told me she's all in. You can't ask me that when I'm handcuffed to the bed, I whisper, feeling her immediately move and release me. The second my hands are on my own again, I flip her to her back and crowd her. Marry me? She repeats. Stupid fucking question. And I kiss her. Chapter 41. It feels like D-Day. The kids will be home later, we meet Sam and Kate's baby girl for the first time, and Ava has a follow-up appointment with her doctor. Two of the things in our list I'm elated about, the last, not so much. I'm dreading hearing Dr. Peters tell us that he's happy with her progress, because I definitely wouldn't say I'm happy. With the progress we've had in terms of our relationship, yes, I'm delighted, but in terms of her memory,
I'm disappointed. I might sound ungrateful, I probably am. Like my mother said to me earlier this morning, I should be thankful that I still have her at all. The thought alone makes my blood run cold each time it enters my head. As we wander down the corridor toward the maternity unit to see Kate before heading to Dr. Peter's office, I can feel Ava's nerves spiking. I wonder if she can feel mine. I sway between asking her if she's all right or not saying anything at all. I'm fine, she says, peeking up at me. At least some things are coming back to me. Wouldn't you be more concerned if I had nothing? An empty head. I just wish you would remember... I stop myself in the nick of time, mentally thumping myself. Why would I even dream of saying that? I'm walking 1 second and standing still the next, Ava having pulled me to a stop. Turning into me, she finishes for me. The kids. Damn, she's good. But after Kate's labor Saturday night, it's not surprising her mind is on her own children. Ava had relayed every pain her friend should expect, like a pro, and I think the notion comforted her, made her feel even more maternal. Stepping into me, she lifts on her tippy toes and kisses my stubbled cheek, and I push my face into it, throwing my arms around her and squeezing her to me. I can't wait to see the kids. She mumbles into my shoulder, probably struggling for breath. We need to get on with things, and we can't do that while we're incomplete. She's putting me to shame. But one thing I know is that the time away from the twins, the most painful time in my life for more than that reason, wasn't entirely wasted. I made my wife fall in love with me again. Mission accomplished. I love you. I refuse to let her go. People having to sidestep us in the middle of the corridor to get past, I don't care. Wherever, whenever, always. I know, she answers, fussing over me with kisses like I need to be fussed. Come on, we have a baby to meet. At that moment, the doors to the maternity unit open and Sam appears with a bundle of blankets in his arms, and beneath the piles of soft cotton, his baby girl. Christ. My eyes begin to well, my throat clogging up on me. I cough to clear it, and Ava gives me a knowing look. I scowl out of principle before my wife thinks I've transformed into a complete sappy twat. Sam grins so wide. Guys, meet Betty. Oh my God. Ava melts at his feet, going totally goo-goo over the baby. I'm alarmed, stepping forward to take a peek. Yeah, she's cute, all right. My wife swoons all over Sam's arms, cooing and ooing, clucking and smiling. Don't get any ideas. It's out before I can stop it, and she looks up at me, her fingers playing with Betty's little hand. Sam's quick to fall apart, and Ava's quick to put me straight. I'm happy with the two, thanks. I know I visibly sag before her, and I can't help it. Imagining going through pregnancy hell again makes me sweat. The worry, the anxiety, the constant fear that something small, a twinge or something else, meant something was seriously wrong. And then the labor. Good, I confirm, rolling my shoulders, making Sam laugh harder. You're too old, man. Sam sticks the knife right in and twists it repeatedly. Fuck you, I spit, moving on, keen to divert that conversation. How are you anyway? He looks knackered. I thought I'd seen every intimate part of my girlfriend. He shudders. I was so wrong. I laugh, looking toward the door when Kate comes wobbling through. She looks surprisingly fresh, considering. I snuck out because it's not visiting time and they won't let you in. She reaches Ava, who is fast to take her in a hug. I'm so happy for you. Don't be, Kate gripes. I'm walking like John Wayne for all the wrong reasons. Her joke, delivered flat and dry, sets all of us off laughing. Sam places Betty in Kate's arms. Yeah? How long until... You know.
He nods down at Kate's hips. Her look is pure filth. I only have enough energy to stab you. She drops a light kiss on Betty's head, all the while keeping daggers on Sam, who's grinning like a fool. It'll be a month at least.